Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your word is everything that we need, Lord. Is what makes the difference in our life. That through your word, Lord, that you guide us by the Holy Spirit, activating it on us, and you help us to know and to follow your ways, to please you, to receive from you, Lord, and to be blessed by your approval, your presence, Lord, and your supernatural power that is there for us to minister life to us. Lord, as we go to the word, let our mind be open, our heart be willing to hear and listen, Lord, and that we may be able to know and have the direction that we need in our life. We just pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Turn this around. All right. So, we have been looking at what God is doing in preparing for us for his coming. And we have to understand that because that was going to make all the difference. It's not the fact that we are going to be, you know, automatically, God doesn't pour stuff out automatically on us. His grace is determined by his justice as well. And so we have a part we play for everything that God does, everything that God chooses to do. What we have to understand, okay, is the fact that we receive God, everything that we receive it by faith, by believing his word, and by appropriating the things that he promised he would do for us. So any transformation, any growth, any development that takes place in us is not something that we do in our own strength or in our own understanding or in our own abilities, but it's related and is determined by how open we are to receive his word and to allow his word to have an effect on us, to respond to that in the right way. Okay, so really, he summarized what I'm saying just in John chapter 8, verse 38, when it says that, to his disciples, he said, you stay in my word, let the word dwell in you, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the pattern that always regulates the way we end up receiving and interacting with God. Always he works through his word. And in his word we can find anything that we need to receive. Now, okay, we've been looking at different things about what God is going to do before Jesus' coming. There are transformations that need to take place within the believers. Okay. So, and there is, is going to be an increasing spiritual manifestation in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean everybody. It means those that are responding. The body of Christ is not just what people call the church. The physical church is just a physical thing. The body of Christ is a spiritual entity of those that actually are really connected with him and are operating through them. Now, okay, we have to receive, really, okay, a spiritual revelation to be able to connect with the word, to be able to align ourselves with what the word says. It's not going to do anything new or different. We don't need new scriptures. Everybody, every believer that knows a bit of the Bible know all the scripture that they need to know. But they just knowing the scripture is very different from, You know, you can quote numbers, you can quote, you know, references, you can even quote by heart the scripture and get nowhere absolutely spiritually. You have to apply the scripture and know how to apply them, and you have to understand them properly, because if you understand it not properly, you are not have the logos, you have your own ideas and your own, you know, your opinion. Scriptures are not open to personal opinion or personal interpretation. Scriptures are based on the truth, and they have to be received the way God intended. There are not 100 different interpretations of the same scripture. There is one, and it's the one that he intended when he anointed the person that wrote the scripture, because he is the author of the Bible. And if we believe that, we can connect on him on a spiritual level. Because that is where anything, that any information we have about the spiritual dimension is found. We have to understand that. Because that is where the power of victory is for us. Forever. But, you know, in this time it becomes critical, because the environment in which we are going to be in is going to require spiritual power and ability to be able to cope with. And this is what God expects from us, from his people. And this is why, you know, the Holy Spirit is working over time in this day to bring some things to pass that need to be happening for Jesus to come back. Now, you know, religion is not going to do it. Religion is man's idea, man to try to get to God. It's actually our relationship with him. The real relationship with him. As I said in John 4:24, around, in all those scriptures around there, you know, in spirit and in truth. Now the world doesn't even know what truth is. But we should. And he is the truth, the way, the life. That is the other way, the way, the truth, and the life. But the point is, what I'm saying is, you know, there is traditions, man's tradition, our ideas, our philosophies don't do very much, because there is no power there. But the word has power. Okay, there is spiritual power in the word. And that is what created and held all else together, the whole universe. Everything is held together by his word. When we understand that, we understand, you know, we can grasp, hopefully, you know, the power that is in his word. Because, you know, his word determined everything in the universe. Any atoms, any rule, any law operating in the world is spoken, or should be have been spoken. The other one stuff are not critical, not necessary, and they're actually not true. Now, we have to understand that. And what's happening today is what was promised, was prophesied. It's going to be a separation or an intensification of light and darkness. We are going to see light bright shining more and more, and darkness becoming more and more dark. And we are going to see that, and the separation is going to be very clear. Okay. And those two factions, those two areas are going to be in conflict one with another. More and more. Because they cannot function together. Okay. Now, the key thing for us to understand, there are some principles we have to operate on. First of all, you know, I shared already before 2 Corinthians 5:7, you know, that says, you know, that we walk by faith, not by sight. So we have to learn to walk by faith. We have to understand what that means. We have to understand how to apply to ourselves. How does it work? You know, it's not just believing. Believing is not enough. We always believe something. So it's not believing, it's believing the word. believing, you know, believing things that are in the word, that are in the proper understanding of what the word says in different things. And according to our understanding that is in alignment with the word of God, there's going to be a manifestation of power and a manifestation of victory that comes automatically out of that. Okay? It's not just believing things. Okay? And generally the things that we are called to believe are things that we cannot see. So we have to believe things that we are not really physically can connect with, but they are said by the word that they are really, you know, not maybe even manifested yet. We have to understand that, okay? And we have to understand, okay, that we have to realize that those things that we do not see are more solid and more real than the things we see. Because the things that we do not see are eternal, where the things that we see are temporary. They're here today, tomorrow they'll be somewhere else, and they're not there anymore. They're not the same. Those are changing. Spiritual things are non-changeable and are eternal. Okay. And this is the way God works. That's the way he is. Okay. So it's not just what we believe. Okay. We have to believe the word. And just believing is not even enough. We need also to act accordingly to what we believe. Because if there is no manifestation of what we believe in terms of our action, that means we really don't believe it. You are just agree mentally with it, but it's not really affecting our walk. See, the fact is, has to do, everything, our faith has to affect our walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not by the things we see, we can touch and so on, but the things that we know. Because the word of God says so. Because we understand the word of God, and because we have aligned ourselves up with the word of God. Are you following me? This is critical because lots of people believe stuff and it doesn't work. Well, if it doesn't work, it's not the word. Well, there is the fact that we have to understand why it doesn't work. Because the word of God is true and works. Jesus had no problem getting the word functioning and producing the result that is said. Okay. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing, okay, there is not just one aspect. You know, just knowing the word doesn't matter. You know, what we have to know is how actually to use it. We have to know both. You know, Jesus correcting the Pharisees that, you know, you have to know the scripture and the power of God. So we have to have experience, actually, of God's power. And we only have experience of God's power when we put the word to work. And we get results, and out of that come an experience in which we start understanding spiritual things beyond the logical thinking. Because we cannot logically embrace or comprehend spiritual things unless we have spiritual experiences. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, any spiritual experience is right. We have to distinguish between the spiritual experiences that are scriptural and they are based on the word and are based on the truth and come from the right side to the one that are actually coming from the other side and are just deceptive. Okay, because there is the dark side has spiritual manifestations too. Now, so we had to know, as I said, scriptures. And that means, you know, we had to read, study, you know, meditate on them, spend time with them, and so on and so forth. But just, you know, you had to do more. We had to act. We had to operate. We had to function. We had to apply our faith to make those things work so that we get a spiritual experience and we realize and experience the power of God working in us and revealing the truth, helping us to grasp and appropriate lambano, you know, appropriate the truth. Now, this should produce, you know, that's the way we get spiritual experiences. Okay. So what we must we do? Okay. Well, the first things, I shared this last week, I'm going to repeat it because these concepts are critical and we end up forgetting them. The first thing is we have to change perspective about the way we see everything. Okay. We shouldn't, you know, we are trained to depend on our senses. Because we are grown up here in this world. And so, you know, the only way we learn something is from when we are babies, you know, our reaction to the things that happen around us. Thing is, those are only physical things, doesn't tell all the spiritual side of it. That is just carnal information or, you know, physical information. What we need is spiritual information. That means we have to come in contact with the spiritual world. We are not in contact with the spiritual world properly until you are born again. Jesus said it very clearly, you cannot even see the kingdom of God or, you know, be able to be part of it until you are born again. You are born from I. So we have to understand this being born from I, you know, is more than just a religious activity that we do or a religious belief that we have. Being born again is actually a transforming spiritual experience that put us in a completely different plane. And unless we understand the change in the reality, the plane of reality in which we are moved in, then we are going to be not able to fully operate at that level. Again, there was need to understand those things. Okay, so the thing we had to start, once we are born again, we can start looking at things spiritually in a different way. And this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, you know, we do not look anymore with the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, you can apply this in crazy way and you're going to get spooky stuff. And one has to have wisdom in understanding how to apply these things. You know, if it's spooky, it's not from God. Okay, we need to be able to have, a ground with God, understanding with Him. We are not going to be strange. Okay, we need at the same time to realize that God operates on a completely different level. The Old Testament people did not understand the way God operated. Lots of people still teach about with, you know, ideas of the Old Testament. We had to clearly see the difference between Old Testament and New Testament and the impact that Jesus made when he came and show us what the Father is like and how to operate spiritually and how to make us able to come into a relationship with God as being born from being born from a spiritual dimension. Not from down here. Down here is limited. Okay. It's not, you know, so we had to learn to do that. But our attitude is going to be determined by this relationship that we establish with God. And that is not on this level, but is on a spiritual level. It's about spiritual things. Okay, we have to understand that. And then we are going to have a consequence of that, you know, a completely different outlook about life. One of the things that they are going to be manifested about that, that's the normal way. This is the way we should operate regularly, not looking at the physical, not being based on the physical thing, but be based on the spiritual things that we don't see that are actually given to us through the Word. Okay, the Word is the basis. That's what we look everything through. It's our glasses, if you want. Okay, so one of the things we're going to do is we are going to have hope because the Word gives us hope. And hope is not what the world has. Hope is not, oh, I hope that this is going to happen. Christian hope is a completely different thing. Christian hope is a joyful expectation, excited expectation of things to come that we know that God has promised in His Word. So we are always, you know, in a positive direction in ourselves, okay? And one of the things is we have faith. First come hope, then comes faith. You know, we believe for these things to happen and we operate and we respond to the Word that way. And our attitude is, let's do it, instead of, I don't know what to do. You should know what to do because the Word gives us all the direction that we need if we spend enough time and we seek enough God to know. He says, you knock and you shall know, be all, you know, open, you know, seek and you shall find. The idea is we are going to find all the things that we need to know if you really mean business with God. But you really have to be, you know, seek business, have secret business with him, you know, in a serious way. You have to really mean business, because God knows if you really are there just to play religion. Okay. Now, and there is another thing. When you have hope and faith, there is also a desire and a motivate and a motivation within you to purify yourself, to cleanse yourself up from the worldly things and the carnal things. Okay, these are something that has to be, if you are really getting into this relationship with God, these are going to be manifested in you. And you have to expect those things to happen. And when those things are not there, you are going to start wondering, you know, really, what are you doing? There is a sign and motivation to do something about it. So our focus is going to change as soon as that happens, okay? And you are going to be seeking, you know, instead of being self-centered, you're going to be, you know, seeking or directed towards serving others. You are caring about what other people's problems are, and you are going to try to help them. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to be, but to serve others. Okay, give him his own life for us. Okay, that's the attitude that's going to come as a result of having this connection with God. It's not here, you know, just give me, you know, and trying to get things for yourself. Although you need to receive to be able to give, but is not, you are not the center of the universe. Okay, you are there to be used by God to do the things he calls us to do. Okay. The other thing, you know, when as you have a faith, you're going to have an attitude of abundance, of having things instead of lack. You are not there seeking God to fill up all your need lists that last forever. You are there to see what you can do to accomplish his mandate, his work, what he calls us to do, to serve others. So you are just focused on other people, just the way Jesus did and the apostles did and everybody else that was following him, was a disciple of him. Okay. So that attitude of faith is determined by, you know, realization that is given, for example, in 2 Peter 1:3. Okay, that his divine power, not you, his divine power. See, this is not a self-development exercise. Okay, this is a connecting with God, and as you connect with God, you automatically are going to be promoted, are going to be increased, are going to be empowered, are going to be directed. Okay, so you know, his divine power has given to us, this is past tense, it's been given to us. And he's talking about believers, he's talking about born again believers, not just anybody. There are two classes of people in the world, if you believe it or not, doesn't matter. You know, from God's point of view, there are the ones that are really born again and the ones that aren't. And to be a child of God, you have to be born again. You have to be born from high. And we are going to see that more in detail. Now, say here. All, see, his divine power has given to us, past tense, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Though through the knowledge of him, who is called us by glory, his glory and virtue. Now, the idea is this, you know, that shows contrary to most of the people the way they pray. God, please give me more power. Give me more anointing. Give me that. Have you? Can you read? He said, has given us all things. Can you say all things? All things. What are all things that you had to ask for if you have already got all things? The thing that you should say is, thank you, Lord, that you have given me all things. That's the right prayer. The other one is not the right prayer. That's the prayer of religion, ideas, men's of ideas that have been going around for 2,000 years, but they are really not scriptural. And don't expect out of your ideas to come out power, because there is not the power of God in it. Only in the Word has power. So we have to be careful if we are praying according to the scripture or praying according to some crazy idea that came up for somebody that didn't understand the scripture. There are so many things that God has given us already and we expect God to give to us. Instead of realizing that we have to straighten up, start believing it and appropriating those things by faith. We have a part for receiving from God. The only way to receive from God, as says in Hebrew, that is by faith. By believing what he said. By believing in his promises. Okay? So, continue on that verse. See, this should be a confidence in us. Okay? The starting point for us to operate. Not the things that we are trying to fulfill. Because, you know, if I give you $1,000, okay? And you come to me the following day and says, please, can you know, I don't have any money. You know, give me some money. I'm going to say, what do you mean? I gave you $1,000 yesterday. What did you do with it? Do you think God is going to react any differently than I would? He's going to say, I promised to you, I give it to you. Why didn't you take it? Now, let me continue here. Okay, following verse. So, okay, has given to us, you know, everything that we have for life and godliness. That means everything that you can think of. Okay? It doesn't stop there. Okay. By which, you know, through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of Jesus. Okay. By which have been given to us, past tense again, exceedingly great and precious promises. So see, this is by this knowledge, we know the promises, otherwise you don't know what you can expect. This is why we have the Bible, so that we can know exactly what to expect from God, because God said, this is a gift to you. All right? So the promises are important. The truth is, you may be partaker of the divine nature. What does it mean to be partaker of the divine nature? That the divine power of God is starting to operate in you, and we are going to start experiencing it in our lives, supernatural power operating in us that is not anymore our abilities. Things that we can do, but he can. If you said by Jesus' stripes you are healed, and you believe it, then, you know, if you really believe it and you stand on that and you appropriate by faith, you're going to get healed. Says, well, you know what? So lots of people don't receive it. That's exactly true. Just believing with the mind is not enough. You have to get to the point where you really believe it with your heart. Okay. There is enough power. See, we are partaker of what? Not our power. His power, divine power. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, the thing is, the world can get the stuff, so they are lasting after things. We don't need to last after anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because I got everything for life and godliness. I can, you know, what more can I ask? Now we have to start appropriating. Okay, the fact that we have this thing working in us, the fact that we have, you know, have escaped the corruption, the fact that we don't need to last anymore. Okay, that means, you know, that this divine nature attributes operating in God are manifested even in our life. Okay, and we have to understand that, you know, we are going to grow spontaneously, you know, because the tree of life is inside us. Trees don't make an effort to produce fruit, if they are properly fed, if they have enough, you know, supplement of minerals and things through the soil that they are in. If we feed our spirit properly, they have no problem manifesting the fruit of the tree of life, the fruit of the spirit. It's not that it's going to be difficult to be patient. It's not going to be difficult to have faith. It's not difficult to have love. It's not, you know, it's not you anyway. This is the fruit that you spontaneously grow out of your relationship with the source. Is flowing through you, and the Jesus attributes, God's attributes are going to come out as the fruit of the Spirit. They are going to be evident in your life. Are you still with me? So we have to understand that we, you know, when we are properly connected, then there is going to be some manifestations in our life that are not just normal human manifestation. They are going to be supernatural ability, supernatural manifestation. The fruit of the Spirit are supernatural. Okay? And other things that are going to be, that are actually, you know, nothing else than the evidence or the manifestation of the divine nature present in us, being in us because of our relationship with Him. Now, so we had to be starting to live in this dimension, in this way of thinking, in this attitude, in this position of faith, if you want, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, we had to start understanding that and not being pulled back down how to operate according to the way our feelings go or our reasoning go or men reasoning go. We had to go according to what the Word says. Okay? Now, we had to, you know, what happens is we had to understand what took place. We are in a state now that is different from the state that we were before, when we are not born again. And we had to understand completely the implication and what happened, and we are going to see in detail. Because lots of people talk about this stuff, but they really don't make the connection between the dots. That's what we had to be able to do, so that we had to understand that we are logic to us to correct our thinking so that we can think the way God thinks. Okay, that's the critical thing. Our thoughts, our ideas, our logic, our conclusion has to line up with the Word. And this is going to happen when there has been enough work within us, both at the mental level and the spiritual level, so that we, you know, the component that we have been exposed to the Word, but exposed to the Word is not enough. We have been meditating on it. We have had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, brought out the truth out of the Word, so that it's starting to be, that we are going to contact the scripture I read before. I quoted to you before, you know, John 8, 32 and 31 and 32, you know, that the Word, my Word is in you. Okay, you are in my Word. Your Word is in you. You shall know the truth. Okay, you discover the truth as the Holy Spirit opens it up to you and brings it to you at the level of your heart, not your mind only. Okay, mind doesn't have power. It's the heart where the power is. And it's not because there is power in the heart. I want to emphasize this. The heart is the gate, if you want, between the spirit and the mind, is where the decision, the judgment are done, where you determine where your conscience is. And that gate is what allows to pass the power that is in you, born again spirit, from the spirit world to the mental and the physical world. When that takes place, then you are going to see the power, spiritual power that is within you as a born-again believer at the very moment when you were born again to be manifested in supernatural result in the physical world you're in. Okay. Now, we want to do that. That's what we need to have. We need to have, you know, physical manifestations of spiritual truth. when we are lined up with the word, this is what's going to happen, the way, same way as happened to Jesus. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself through the time of your stay here in fear." Good scripture. Because a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, you know, fear, we don't have children in fear. Wow. Just open the heart, because that's where you're saying here that we should have, should be here in fear. Now, let's take this apart and start. Okay, God the Father is going to judge us, that's what it says, without partiality, okay, according to what each one works. Yes. Oh. You're telling me that? God doesn't look at the works. God looks at the heart. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. You don't understand it. And so you try to mix two scriptures that you don't know what they're talking about. See, you have to understand that where your heart is, your works are going to be. If something is in your heart, it's going to be manifested. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, your action comes. This is where you make the decision, I'm going to do this or the other things. This is where you make the decision, this is good, this is bad. Even if it's the other way around in reality, but that's, you like that because... you lust after that thing, and so that's good. And you make that decision, and your heart is in the wrong place. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? So the fact is, you see, the things that you do are the reflection of where your heart is. All the time. If you like it or not, for good and for bad. So God is going to judge. He doesn't need to do very much. You see your action. You see your decisions. And you know exactly where you are. And so can we. If we understand anything about spiritual things. Oh, don't judge anybody. We're calling to judge the angels. You better learn to judge people right now. The right way, with righteous judgment, according to the word. You don't know inside them, but you can see their actions. Hello? See, people take scripture out of context, and they make up religious ideas that are completely off what God is trying to say. Okay, let me continue here. So, okay. Look, God looks at what we do. He judges us without partiality. That means, you know, doesn't matter who you're coming from, doesn't matter what color you have, doesn't matter what things, you know, how many degrees you have, how much money you have on a bank account, doesn't matter anything. He just looks at your action and judges you. If you're doing good, if your heart is in the right place or not. If your heart manifests the newborn again, new man that is created in you in Christ Jesus, or is manifest the what the old man is there that is a child of Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. Some people think, oh, no, no, now I'm everything okay. That's not at all. You know, let's see what you do. Let's see, let me see your decision. I don't know exactly where you are. Okay, so, and it doesn't stop there. So that should be, you know, we are called to put on the new man. Not just go around and do whatever we feel like doing according to our feelings. No, it says put on the new man even when we don't feel like doing it because there are, you know, it's difficult. Because it's demanding something that we find difficult to do. Because we have some problems. It says, put on the new man is something you do by decision, and God sees your decisions, all your decisions, because your decision is the way you walk. God look at your walk. All right? So, I'm finished with this verse, because at the end says, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And that's the other thing. Well, we shouldn't have any fear. He's talking about the fear of the Lord. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, sorry, you are in trouble. Okay? Proverbs 1:7, although it's in the Old Testament, is valid completely today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? But fools despise wisdom and instructions. So what are the fools? If we don't listen to God's direction, okay? The idea is very simple, okay? That many people don't have any wisdom. That means they're fools. Make the wrong decisions. They make the wrong decision. They're not very smart, and they are not fear of God. Because if you have fear in God, then you go to the Word, you see what God says that we should be doing, and you should do it, because you know that otherwise you're in trouble. Because God cannot support you and cannot bless you and cannot direct you because you are not going to listen. You see, they are, they despise, fools despise what? Wisdom and instruction. So if you are a fool, you have no wisdom and you don't listen to anybody. You think you are right. So there is no fear in you about going to God and seeing what he says about the things that the decision you make. Are you still with me? See, that's the problem. Fools make foolish decisions and pay for the price for them. Okay? Because they don't learn from their mistakes. Because, God is not going to bail you out if you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again because you don't want to learn. Okay? He gives up to people that do that and let them follow their lusts. That's completely scriptural. Romans 1:24. Okay? So that's the thing that we had to learn to do. So the bottom line, if you have wisdom, you are going to make the wise decision to make and not foolish one. You seek wisdom more than silver and gold. Because wisdom is what you know. Wisdom is nothing else that you know what you should be doing in a specific situation. And if you don't know that, James chapter 1 says very clearly, if you don't know, you need wisdom, ask God and ask him for his direction, and he will give it to you because he gives liberally to everybody. So that's your expectation. You are going to approach it that way. That's faith. And if you don't waver because your desire puts you one direction to the other, then you are going to see things happening. You are going to get the direction that you need. You're going to make the right decision. You're going to get the right results. And you're going to get coming out in victory instead of defeat. Amen. That's what we should say, something like that, because this is what makes the difference. You see, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We need to be afraid to be stupid or foolish. You hopefully, when you cross the street, you look on both sides. You don't go, as some people think, faith. Faith is blind. Oh, I believe God and close your eyes and cross the street. Oh, you are crazy, not smart. You are not have faith, you have stupidity. Okay? Now, we have to make conscious decision. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. There is this scripture everybody knows, but people stop too soon. Generally people quote scripture and quote it in isolation for all the things that are around them, and they miss the most important part of it. Here it says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So people stop right there. Okay, thing is, The idea is be watchful, be, you know, that be sober, by be vigilant is the fear of the Lord that is motivating you to listen and to look around and to seek direction. You are not just responding to the roaring lion by your emotions, by what happens, looking at the situation that's around you that the enemy is putting to trap you, and you are just carrying away by your emotion and you're lost and making stupid decisions that put you in trouble more than before. You need to instead go for direction. Get direction from your spirit, not from your emotions. In this, the problem you have is we are not in contact with our spirit too much, because we are not used to do that. If we learn to do that, we are going to be in a completely different ballgame. Instead of going by the way we always go, reacting to the situation, because our feeling makes you all, you know, uptight or afraid or everything else. That's wrong fear, by the way. Okay, all the wrong things. Feelings are unreliable. One moment are up, the next moment are down, the next moment are somewhere else. You can count on your feelings. They are going to always get you messed up and making the wrong decision. You have to set back and go to your spirit, not your thinking, not your mind. See, you're going to start thinking about all the different things that can happen, and you're going to be panicky, and you're going to jump when you shouldn't jump, or stay there when you shouldn't stay there. What you have to do is ask God and believe that He's going to give you the answer, and go to the Word so that you get the direction you need. And find stability. When your feelings are not important anymore, that's the time when you're going to be able to hear what God is saying. When you don't care if it's one way or another, then God can speak to you. Otherwise, you are biased in your hearing and you're filtering out what God wants to tell you. So what you have to do is really, you know, be sober and vigilant. But then continue. Then you can do that, what comes after. Resist them, steadfast in the faith. I mean, that means steadfast in the faith. You know, how can you be steadfast in the faith? What is faith, number one? Faith, as we said before, is believing what the Word of God says. It's not just believing anything. You know, steadfast in the faith doesn't mean that you hold on and you are stubborn in your position. And you think that the devil is going to run away because you are taking a position. He couldn't care less the position you take. Unless you're taking God's position. And you put yourself under His direction, with His power operating in you. Then what's going to happen, and it is not going to fight with you, He's going to fight with Him. Or Him, Jesus, or God, or the Holy Spirit is going to fight with the devil, not you. You can beat Him. You get tired. You get exhausted after 20 minutes of prayer. He can stay there for 20 years. And he's never tired. Are you following what I'm saying? Here he's saying, you know, steadfast in the faith. You have to be steadfast in the faith. That means we have to know what you had to believe your position should be. You had to have made that decision, and you stay there because of, not for stubbornness, but because you are in God's side. I'm not saying that it's easy to do. Your flesh is going to scream and yell and try to put up a fuss, but who cares? You get the victory instead of defeat. Now, let me continue here. Okay. It's funny, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by all the brothers in the world. So you see, everybody is going through that. You are not just somebody special. Everybody goes through the same thing. Everybody has to fight the same type of battle. Even Jesus was tested and tempted in any way that you were himself. No matter what topic it is, he tried it all. And he overcame them all. And he gave us the ability to do the same. Because it's not you doing the battle is his, and he won it. Okay? Now, I don't stop there. Verse 10, which is the one coming after 9, says, but may the God of grace, who call us to eternal glory, to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after you went through this process and all this struggle that you have, you know, had to exercise, be steadfast in the faith, that is not easy, okay, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. So that's what it's saying. You see, if we have done what I said before, okay, then God is going, out of this process, what is going to happen, that God is going to perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. If at the end of the story you are not settled, you are not perfected, you are not, you missed the boat. Okay? We need, when there is a trial that we go through, at the end, we should come out in victory. That's what he's saying here. Do we believe that? Well, that's the thing. That's where we see how much we really line up ourselves with the Word, how much our thinking lines up with the Word. That's the key thing. Praise the Lord. See, that's, you know, he's not just being stubborn, you know, about our position. He said, you know, is to be with God, with God's power, with God's anointing, with our faith, believing in what he said and did, so that we can stand there unmoved. And then we are going to grow. Okay. So we have to take our place as a child of God, as children of God. That one makes a difference. Okay, and we have to understand, you know, what that means to be a child of God. So going to, again to 1 Peter, another section, but chapter 1, verse 18, says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, for your sinless conduct, received by the tradition and from your fathers. So the idea is there is, you know, you are not redeemed, paid, your freedom is not being paid with physical gold, silver, but something much, you know, not corruptible, okay, from the tradition passed over by your fathers. So he's talking about tradition, he's talking about, you know, the ideas, the thinking, the things that were coming up before. We need to understand that now these things are not physical. You know, that what we are redeemed is through the Jesus blood, and it's as a spiritual power that is there, that is setting us free and pay for what we, you know, whatever we did wrong. Okay? So we have this, okay? And this is the truth in which we base ourselves, and we don't go according to the tradition that we're you know, passed over to us from the Old Testament and all the people in the world, they didn't have any idea of what that means. And the only thing that they did in those days was something that was symbolic for what's going to happen later. And even symbolic had some impact, but it's nothing compared to what we should experience. Jesus made all the difference. Now, so we have to have understanding and revelation of what that event there, about that being born from, you know, not from the tradition, you know, not be under the tradition of men, the way of thinking. See, that's what traditional men are, way of thinking, religious ideas, you know, things that are not really in the Word, that we, everybody, a lot of people believe, but they are not the truth. Okay, we have to overcome that. See, everything has to do with our thinking. That's where it starts. The problems start with our thinking. If we think wrong, we get wrong results. But we start, you know, we start changing our mind, renewing our mind with the Word of God, renewing our thought with the way God thinks and the way Jesus demonstrated. And then, you know, from that passed over, we start accepting it with our heart, And when that takes place, then that's the way we are born again in the first place. We hear about the good news, we accepted it, we received it from our heart. And the very moment when we accepted and believed it with our heart, what happened? All the weight on our shoulder was gone. Hopefully. If you go around with the guilt of the past, continue around, that means you really didn't believe it. And it's not worked yet. You had to actually experience the freedom, because it is not just a theory. If you go back and looking at all the things in the past, and you continue to look back at the past, you are not really believing what God has done, because you are still living in the past. You have to start living in the present. You start living in the new reality that God has created inside you when you were born again. That's what makes all the difference. Okay, so. And that's what happened, is very clear in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any of us is in Christ, this is what it means to be in Christ, he's a new creation. You are a completely new being. You are not anymore a man like all the other people that are not born again. You are a new type of being. Okay? You are now a spiritual, alive being. Before, you were just a dead spiritual person. Okay, so says here, a new creation, and old things have passed away. Do we believe that old things have passed away, or we have to keep living on them? Start repenting over and over again about the same thing, or really say, no, thank you, Lord, I rejoice in you that stuff is gone. I'm not the same. That person is dead. Now I'm alive. It was dead before too, actually. And he's keep being dead because I have nothing to do with it. Okay? So that's the new reality that you have to come in to start manifesting some of the things. Otherwise, your thinking is wrong and you're starting to put yourself back and back in the same place, never winning. That's what happened. People, go to the altar 10,000 times and never get free from their sins because they keep believing in the nonsense that, the devil puts in their mind and religious tell them to do. If you believe God, believe what he says, believe his promises, he says you go and you repent, you go before God, you accept what Jesus has done, the blood washed that clean, you are free indeed. You don't keep carrying around that stuff because it's a lie that the devil wants to put on you so that you stay there and you never develop. Now, it says, now all things are of God. We had to start believing what the word says. He's not saying, maybe. He says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Now all things are of God. He has reconciled himself through Jesus Christ. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you see, he's telling us pretty something very clearly here, that he has cleaned up all the slate for all the things that we did in the past. We are new creation, new being, and we are reconciled to God. That means you are in good standing with him because all the enemy between us and God is gone, and we have to start feeling connected with him. And that's the way we should see ourselves, not allow anybody else to give us some wrong idea, some thinking, and keep us in the bondage we were before. Okay. That's what, he has reconciled himself, not just ourselves, but the whole world has been reconciled to him, not putting their trespasses on them. So, that's why we can do it, because Jesus paid it for everybody. The thing is, he paid for everybody, doesn't work on them because they had to receive it by faith. Okay, so that's where it started. Okay, so now we have to think about a new way of living. The new way of living means, that we have to start walking in a different way. If you start keep thinking that you are the same that you were before, you cannot walk that way. Because your reasoning, your decision, your things are going to be according to your way. Now you have to have a new way of thinking, a new way of life. Now You don't look at yourself, you look at the world, because the world tells the way you have been transformed. You cannot go by memory or what you were like. You have to figure that out. You see, you are a new engaged trajectory that you didn't have any clue about, because you didn't have any experience before about being that way. So you had to find out what you look like, what you do, what you think, what you do. You had to start from scratch, the way you were when you were a baby, and now when you are born again, you are a baby, and the only thing you know is go. Unless somebody tells you a bit. So you go to the world, and you start drinking milk, getting information, getting things, so that you start to see the way, that's what I should do in a situation like that. Oh, this, and that's starting to, you may think, that's very difficult to do, though. And so you start talking to yourself. People should talk to themselves. I do that all the time. It's not because I'm crazy, maybe I am, but, is that you need to do that to address the issues inside. Actually, recently, Minister, made a whole sermon on that. The idea is that this is very important. You have to resolve issues. And not according to your own thinking or your feelings. You have to do according to the word of God. So sometimes you have to spend time with the word. You have to pray. You see, the most important thing, our most important prayer that we should do is not, God, please do this. God, please heal me. God, please, give me anointing. No, God, please direct me. What is the right decision in this case? So when you do that and it gives you the direction and you do it, the anointing of God coming in empower you to do things that you would never thought you could do. Okay? So now, the new way of living. It's a song, I got the new way of living. That's exactly, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, stand fast. Again, another time, It's not just being stubborn. It's a question of, taking a position of faith. Okay. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Here is the liberty. It's not just a question of doing whatever you want to do. Is liberty from sin, from religions, from the tradition and the theory of man that produce only bondage. That's what he's talking about here, and it's very clear from the following verse, which is verse 8. Yeah, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ." So you see, that's the thing, that the liberty we come in, we have to preserve it. We have to be, recognize that we are free from this wrong thinking that come from man thinking, from man's tradition, from religious idea, and stuff like that. And sometimes it's really difficult. It takes a lot of time to figure out all the cows that we had to kill. Yeah, the sacred cows. The sacred cow that we believe really there's something really spiritual in reality is just a sacred cow. Okay? And we had to figure them out and slaughter them. And sometimes it's difficult. Because, we often are so attached to these things. Thinking for many years, thinking that we're really the thing, and we look at this stuff as really the very pious. Sorry. That keeps you into bondage. And we have to understand that. The verses I've been quoting now were from Paul. And this is the way, Paul explained the spiritual state that we are when we are born again, as we walk in the new way. Peter, that was much more, Judaic religion in the approach and the things, but he still said the same thing. Okay, he's explaining exactly the same thing about the birth. For example, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, but with the, you know, we were born, you know, not by, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the idea is that, you know, that's the way he worded it now, but we were born that way. See, that is why the new life. Born means, you know, there is a new life generated inside us. Okay. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last day for you. So that's why he came. Okay. Who, through him, believing God, you know, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So it's not in your idea, it's not on philosophy, it's the fact of the supernatural manifestation that God made in Christ. When he, you know, all the miracles that he did, all the death on the cross, the resurrection and going up to heaven, you know, all these things are spiritual event, spiritual manifestation, the taria on which we can base our faith and we can believe that this is true and is not false. Now, if we don't believe anything, you know, we have a real problem because, you know, the documentation it makes pretty clear you had to really be biased not to believe it. Okay, even people that were not believers historically refer to those things. And everything that was said in the Bible is actually going to be proved that was true. Okay, so what I'm saying here, okay, we can see the reality and have faith on what happened, okay, when we are born again. And all these things we can connect to all this spiritual reality, and our faith is based not on our own ideas, but based on believing what God has done. The actual manifestation of his power on earth by supernatural events that took place. Let me continue here another verse. 1 Peter 1:22. The following, since you have purified your soul from in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren, you know, love one another fervently and in pure, with pure heart. So you see, here he's talking about, he's expanding a bit on that. Okay, he's expanding on how this development and this growth takes place. Okay. Says, you are believing in it, you know, so that your faith and hope are in God. When your faith and good hope is in God, and you have the right idea and the right thought that the Bible says, you know, then you are going to be motivated, what I was saying at the beginning, you know, you are going to have a desire and self to clean yourself up, to be, you know, proper, you're doing the things that are right to do. Okay, that means you have to cut off the other stuff. See, that's what purifying yourself really means. Purify your soul. See, it doesn't say purify your spirit. Your spirit is born again and is a new creation, is connected with God, is without sin, and is without problems. Your soul is a different story. When you are born again, your body is just as you look the same, you do act the same thing, your mind think the same thing, because maybe just a little change in the fact that you're open now to what God said, you know, but there is much more to do there. Okay. But your soul is all the thing has to do with your mind, your feelings, your emotions, and even your heart. This is where you get saved, you know, and it's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. You are born instantaneously, but your salvation is something that continues until Jesus comes back. Okay. So, you know, so you are purified, okay? That means made pure, undefiled by the things of the world. Okay. So I talk about this. So, you know, so how that is manifested? Is manifested, okay, that's the way you are purified, you know, by this sincere love for the brethren. Now, the sincere love for the brethren is really the manifestation of the walking in the Spirit. See, when there is love, is a fruit of the Spirit. When you are walking in the Spirit, you are walking in love. Okay, walking in love doesn't mean that you are just friendly, nice to, please everybody. It means that you care about the situation and you take action when it's required, even if they don't like what you're doing. Okay, we need to be consistent with what God says. Okay, so, but the fact that we are doing it with a loving attitude, with a loving position in our heart, okay, it shows the fact that we have actually embraced this truth and we are cleaning ourselves up. We don't act by revenge. We don't act punishing them. We act because we care about the fact that others are suffering, others are having problems, others need to be corrected to be able to walk with God. So that's, and the thing is, here it says the word love one another fervently with pure heart. The word fervently, actually, I don't think the most accurate translation, is essentially is not hypocritical, okay? So it's sincere, it's true, not in hypocrisy, but in sincerity. Okay, and pure art. Again, the idea of the pure art is the fact that we expect, to be not contaminated by worldly things. Okay. Now, I think we reached the time to close for today. Now, what comes next is, continuing on the following verse. Okay, it talks about what we should expect in terms of manifestations in our life. Okay, the spiritual dimension, how is going to come out of this pure love, out of this being born of from on high. Okay, it's not, we are not anymore what Paul says, mere men. We are children of God, and as we grow, we become more and more sons of God. So there's going to be more and more a manifestation of what happens from our spirit, and it's going to be supernatural. This is where, for example, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit comes, but there is much more than that. All these other things that we've been talking about, they all go together. So I'm going to talk about that next week. For today, we're going to close, and we're going to pray. You get anything today? Okay. The idea, you see, is not theory. I'm not talking about theory. Theory doesn't do anything. Even Bible study doesn't do anything if you don't do something with it. Information that is not applied is useless. Makes you just thinking that you know stuff, but you don't know anything. And this is true even for physical information, especially for spiritual. So let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, we are born again. We are born from you, from on high, from heaven. Praise you, God. We thank you that we can expect to be your children, to be transformed according to your character and your attributes, that we should be able to see your power, your love, your faith, your patience, your long-suffering, your all the different attributes that you have manifested in us more and more. Help us to start living in this new dimension in which you have translated us by the power of Jesus' blood. Thank you for your love, for we didn't deserve it, but your grace gave it to us. And it's not just for us receiving something. It's a receiving of empowering, of enabling us to be different, to be transformed, to be transfigured into the image of your Son, bit by bit, as we yield to your Spirit, guiding us into freedom, into the truth, into victory that you conquered for us. Thank you, Lord. We want to obey you. We want to be disciples of Jesus, because he's our example, our teachers, our masters, our healer, and everything that we need. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.